This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hour number two of Sharp Money here on VSiN. Matt Brown in for Patrick. Adam Burke here on the desk with me as well. And we're going to waste no time to get to our guest here because we have a lot of stuff to talk about. You've seen him here on the network all over the place. He is Will Hill at Not The Will Hill over on the Twitter machine. Will, how you doing, buddy?
Boys, what's going on? Good to be with you. You could have wasted some time. We don't have a lot going on today. Only three Major League Baseball games for some reason. Almost feels a little bit like the pandemic where it's just it's very strange to have this little going on. But, hey, it's the summer, and excited to be with you guys.
Yeah, we got just the three games. Man, all the news in the world. But let's get to the actual betting side of things first, and then we'll get to the news side of everything because we do have – the Mets and the Nationals going at it today. Big, big prospect in Major League Baseball making his debut today. Going to bat sixth there for the Nationals and James Wood. And you like the Nationals. You're going to back them here.
Yeah, I just don't like Peterson's numbers at all. You look at the expected ERA. It's right around six, I think over six. Expected batting average allowed right around 300. He's gotten hit really hard. And Gore's numbers are pretty good. I don't know that it factors into the handicap at all. The fact that the Mets had the weird situation yesterday where they had the rain delay against Houston. They didn't get done playing until, 7:30, 8 o'clock Eastern. Then they have to travel. Probably not a big part of the handicap. But, look, this Washington team has been underrated. Really going back to last year, they've been very profitable. And you alluded to it, James Wood, the prospect who I haven't seen. I know his numbers have been really impressive in the minors, so you add that bat to the mix. But I just think it's a good pitching matchup, a good pitching advantage here for the Nats. Maybe you play the first five just because you want to isolate your handicap and you want to just get it Gore versus Peterson. I would understand that, but I do like Washington here.
Well, July 4th landing on a Thursday, so everyone's going to have to be in action on Thursday. That's why you only get the three games here today with the limited off days. Now that we're into the dog days of summer, the All-Star break is on the horizon. But, Will, a lot of teams now crossing the midpoint of the season, getting up into that 81 games played range, maybe a little bit higher, maybe a little bit lower, depending on rainouts and all of that. You get some thoughts on how the AL West is kind of shaking out here right now, where Seattle seems to have kind of a vice grip on the division in some degree, but Houston charging very fast here, and of course our own Gil Alexander cashing Houston to win the most games in June. What are you looking at here out of the AL West?
Yeah, I worry if you are Seattle, that you just didn't put these guys away, because you look up a week or so ago, I remember just going over the broad view of these divisions, it was like, man, we might be only looking at one race, and that's the AL East. Then you blink, and Houston's within 3.5. I was doing the look ahead late last night, I guess early this morning, and Houston was plus 205. I gave that as a pick. I guess the market has caught on. We're looking at DraftKings. It's at plus 165. Shop around, especially with the divisions, with anything, but especially with these divisions, you can get a lot of disparity. Sometimes these books can be slow to move on these. But still, I think that's a good number, getting Houston at plus money like this, because I just worry about Seattle. They strike out a ton. They strike out over 10 times a game. Castillo has not been the typical Castillo we're used to seeing. And Houston, a lot has gone wrong, and you look up and you're still only 3.5 back. I think that's a bad sign. I even thought about Texas at 13-1. We've seen Wyatt Langford come on. Scherzer's come back and pitched well. Maybe get DeGrom at some point. They're kind of the most under-discussed World Series champ we've ever seen. That was a good win, obviously, last night for them and for Gil Alexander against the Orioles on Sunday Night Baseball. So maybe a sprinkle on Texas 13-1. I do like Houston plus 165. I'm just looking to fade Seattle. I would worry here that they had their chance to put the division away and they didn't capitalize on it.
Yeah, well, I did the same a week ago. I played both of Houston and Texas. Mainly, it was just a fade of Seattle. They can't hit. I mean, they just can't hit. Yeah. And I mean, the team's horrible. And so, not a team that has historically done much at the trade deadline either. So I just expect one of Houston or Texas to catch them somewhere along the way. Let's go to the big news here in the sports world as NBA free agency gets going, that Paul George does go ahead, move over to the Sixers. The Sixers go ahead, extend Maxey, get Oubre back as well to go along with Embiid. So now they've got their big three to go up against the Celtics, big three to go up against all the other big threes that might get formed along the way as we start talking about this this NBA season. And, what kind of impact do you think George to the Sixers does? I tell you from a betting standpoint, it puts them right in there in second. But do you think this now makes them a true, real contender to win it all and go up against this Celtics team and take them out?
I think it does. I think when you're talking about George, it's like the second, in some cases, like the third best player where he can be a wing defender. I know he's 34, and that's not what you're looking for from a wing defender. But, boy, this is a really good team. It's a really good fit. It's just the elephant in the room. Can Embiid be healthy in April, in May? who knows? That hasn't been the case. And usually when you're 30 and you're a guy of that size, usually you don't go the right way in terms of health. You don't start to get healthy all of a sudden. So that would be my concern. That's why I don't know that there's a lot of value in the number. I did look. DraftKings and season win totals aren't up, and I'm excited for when they are up because there's a few that I'm looking forward to. But they are division prices up for the Atlantic Division. Philly's plus 350 or 360. The Knicks and the Sixers are flip-flop, plus 350, plus 360. One is one, the other is the other. Is Boston really going to come out after winning a championship, missing Porzingis for half the year? Are they going to come out, you know, foot on the gas and really care all 82 games in the regular season now that they got the monkey off the back? I'm not sure. You can counter that with saying, hey, is Embiid going to be healthy all 82 games? And if you're Philly, do you want to pace him? But look, I do think Philly's really good. I do think that you're looking at a three-team race here, and there's some rivalries involved. Boston, Philly, New York, there's some local, you know, regional rivalries. I think all three teams are legitimately good. You have to give the benefit of doubt to the champions in Boston. But, look, I wouldn't be shocked if Philly's playing next June. I have to get there with Embiid in terms of the trust. But I actually looked at this, too. If you have, like, a free bet or a bonus bet or something, 25-1 Sixers, OKC, NBA Finals, because – I do have concerns about Denver. This is now 2 years in a row. I mean, just look since they won the championship, who walked out the door? Green, Brown, and now Caldwell Pope. And look, they didn't replace those assets. They didn't get anything in the door. And you wonder if Jokic starts to get a little frustrated. So OKC adding Caruso, adding Hartenstein, they've got plenty of picks to trade at the deadline. Philly now with all of the Clippers picks they have stuff to trade at the deadline. So both those teams, if you're looking like one or two moves ahead, they both have stuff to add. So if you want to just take a flyer on like a Sixers OKC final at 25-1, I don't think that's the worst thing in the world.
So, Will, in the spirit of that, looking at the Western Conference, you mentioned some of the things that the Thunder have done, and, you know, it does seem like they've kind of strengthened their position a little bit. The Mavericks, you know, they pick up Klay Thompson. Who knows if he has anything left in the tank. Are you looking at anybody else in the West that you kind of have your eye on to maybe invest in, or have you invested in the Thunder based on what they've done?
No, I haven't done anything yet. I do think they're the rightful favorite again, but these books are getting smarter. Like when moves happen, the books react. Sometimes they overreact. It's if you don't get it before the move, sometimes you're just late to the party and you've got plenty of time with this stuff. And you're talking about tying up money for, I mean, you're not talking 4 months, 6 months. This is a full year if you're talking NBA futures. So I don't know. I will be excited once win totals are posted because I will be dying to bet against the Clippers. You always say, or we always hear, the worst thing you could be in the NBA is in the middle. You're not a contender. You're not rebuilding. Well, the worst thing you could be is in the middle when you don't have your picks. And the Clippers, their best player is Kawhi, who can't stay healthy. Their second best player is James Harden. So I don't know what they do going forward. If Kawhi gets hurt, let me rephrase that. When Kawhi Leonard gets hurt, you could be looking at a position where you head into the lottery as a lottery team and you don't have your picks. So I think, and again, these numbers aren't up yet. I'm guessing they're probably be interesting. What would they be slated at? 39.5, 40, something like that, right around a 500 team. I think they have to consider a trade, and I think that an injury is always possible with Kawhi. And after that, I don't know what you're looking at. So to me, the Clippers are a team that is going to have to probably be sellers because they went all in. It didn't work. It was very strange. I know George, long-term, 4 years at his age, it's a bad contract. But in the NBA, you're just in bad shape when you lose the asset for nothing, and they lost the asset for nothing. So I don't know what they do going forward. I'll be looking at them as an under. And some of these tanking teams, especially with Cooper Flagg, available in this draft, like the Nets, I don't know how many games they're going to win, who's their best player. That will be an under I'm looking at. So I think there's going to be more meat on the bone with these win totals than these futures in terms of, you know, winning the NBA title, winning the conferences, things like that.
Yeah, Will, we are going to have some real tankathon stuff going on in the last few weeks of the season for sure. It is going to be amazing to watch. It's going to be like it's not going to be free money because the spreads are going to be absurd, but it's going to be something for us to like figure out how big a number am I willing to lay against these teams.
Well, and not just that, it's not only the big numbers. You're going to have tanking teams. You're going to have multiple tanking teams because I think the Bulls finally got the memo. Hey, what are we doing here? We need a direction. The Nets, obviously, they got the memo where, hey, we got control of our draft back. So the Raptors, you could throw five or six of these teams in there that say, hey, there's no point going for this thing. And that's tricky. Obviously, when two teams are trying to lose, it's they both can't lose. So that's the one thing that hurts the handicap of the Nets. It's not, you know, ideally, when you're tanking, you want to be like one of two or three teams tanking. You don't want to be like one of six or eight teams tanking. And then other teams are going to be not just tanking, but bad, you know, by accident, bad just because they're bad. So it'll definitely be something to watch. And, you know, apparently it's a loaded draft now. So that obviously adds the incentive here to sink to the bottom.
Well, we got about a minute left. It's not getting the same kind of run, but NHL free agency beginning here today as well. Anything that stood out for you in that market?
Nothing for NHL free agency. I was just realizing as we were talking about Seattle earlier in baseball, I might have typed up the wrong note and sent it over to Wyatt, our fantastic producer. I do think there's value on Baltimore in the division for Major League Baseball because I have the Yankees at plus money, and I watch both those teams every day. I think I'm on the wrong side. Baltimore just looks like the more complete team. Better bullpen. Yankees have holes in the lineup outside of Judge and Soto, and you're seeing a starting pitching rotation that's really starting to regress. I'm shocked you can get plus 160 on Baltimore. I wouldn't go so far as to say the wrong team is favored, but I wouldn't call you crazy if you should say Baltimore should be the favorite. Now, Baltimore's ahead of them. Baltimore just looks like they have a better team. And look, I have the Yankees as a bet. I'm a Yankee fan. I'd be very nervous about the Yankees right now. I haven't liked what I've seen the last couple of weeks. And I think Baltimore's got more to trade, too. So I think Baltimore at plus 160 is not a good bet. I think it's a great bet.
Matt, I thought we were going to be able to talk about your Kraken.
Season's over. No more hockey, Matt. Until next, May or something like that. Then we get hockey, Matt, back here and here again. You can find him on the Twitter machine at Not The Will Hill, and of course all over our networks as well. It is Will Hill. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
See you guys. Great job with the betting guide. I encourage people to check that out. Appreciate you guys.
Look at the plug for all the hard work that you put in, buddy.
I try.
How many hours?
I try.
How many hours? Go ahead. We'll peel the curtain back. How many hours?
It's a lot. I mean, the whole thing start to finish took about 6 weeks put together.
Whew. Man. Yeah. And then you were writing along with it. Yeah. Not only are you constructing this thing, he's the designer, he is the writer, he is the architect, he's everything. He does it all. He's Adam Burke. He's just absolutely fantastic. When we come back, talk about some of these NBA news that we didn't get to because there was so much of it, and we'll see if that affects what we think about any of these teams.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
It is our special, springing into summer. It's a VSIN Pro special for 13 months. For the price of $1,299, go to VSIN.com/subscribe. Use the promo code SHARP, S-H-A-R-P, and we will give you that free month of VSIN Pro for just $199. 13 months for the price of 12. Matt Brown, Adam Burke here on the desk. Adam Burke getting the shout-outs, getting some love. Everyone loves Adam Burke.
He was getting a lot of shout-outs from Gil last week on a numbers game because you were writing about NASCAR, horse racing, all this stuff. You were like the Swiss Army knife of VSiN.
I try. I got to earn my keep around here.
The betting strategy for NASCAR, something that you always had been a part of or something you acquired over the last couple of years?
No, let's just be completely honest here. The function of the NASCAR article is to drive people to our NASCAR hub at VSiN.com where Steve Mackinnon does a weekly simulation.
Okay.
So it has no actual handicapping for me other than to say, like, guys that have had success at the track and have won before.
I'm going to guess that it's they're all guys whose last name begin with B. Am I right? Am I right, Wyatt?
There's a lot of them.
B did not win yesterday.
No?
No, it was Joey Logano.
The books still should offer a bet, though. Will a guy whose last name begins with B win the race? I don't know why they don't do this. I don't know why this isn't a thing. Like, this would be a fun bet to make every week.
Oh, I'm sure. You would be in the plus. Now, does the B count for first name as well?
No, last name.
Only last name.
Last name.
All right, then that eliminates
whose last name, who would have to be last name begins with a B. But if you guys haven't looked at a betting market for a NASCAR race anytime soon, you'll see, like, half the field's a B.
Well,
it really is about a third of the field. That's not even joking. It really is about like a third of the field.
Well, I know you talked about this last year, too, but the pricing would have to be different this year because Kyle Busch hasn't won a race yet, right? No. So, like, Kyle Busch has not been very good this year.
He has been very disappointing, and unfortunately, both me and John Goulet had a bet on him to finish top 10. He was running fourth with two laps left and got taken out on a restart. So, the NASCAR betting, that's why me and Isaiah Von Wrinkel, another famous person here at VSiN, Isaiah won a grand total of $4. I lost a grand total of $4 from yesterday.
I lost more than $4 on the golf tournament yesterday.
I know. I'm sorry.
I lost all the monies. I made zero. I made $0 in zero. That's okay. I
saw a newsletter today. I didn't want to bring it up.
Yeah. I said to everyone on Long Shots, I was like, this tournament, it's so highly volatile that I'm not going to play placement market bets or head to heads like I normally would, and I'm just going to. I'm okay taking a zero. With that, I didn't think that I was going to get another runner up, and so yeah, it's two runner ups in 2 weeks. That is golf betting, though. You know, to a T. So it just kind of is what it is. You deal with the wins, you deal with the losses, you kind of move on with everything. That being said, at least I didn't have, and Bill put it in the newsletter, at least I didn't have Akshay Bhatia, who did three-putt there on the 72nd hole to not make the playoff, and so just lost outright. So at least you didn't. At least that wasn't the case.
Does the handicap, does it ease the pain when you were that close, or would you rather be that close or be like, you know what, I wish the guy just missed the cut, so I didn't have to.
It's a decent question because I get asked this all the time, and so what I would say is you go and you look and you're kind of like, well, at least I was on the right path. So I had Davis Thompson T2, I had Eric Van Rooyen who was T6, I had Sam Stevens who was T10. Sam Stevens was 110-1. Eric Van Rooyen was 71. You know, like, so I was able to identify these dudes, these longer dudes. Davis Thompson was 40-1. You know, like I was at least able to identify the guys that I thought could pop on a course like this, but it does sting a little bit when you have the long shot dudes get really close and then it not get home. But, you know, it is what it is. I've been doing it long enough to where I'm like, yeah, it's just golf betting, you know.
Well, I mean, that's the age-old question, right? When you bet on a favorite and they're not going to cover, you just hope they lose outright.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like, they're fine. They can punish themselves.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I said yesterday when I was on air, I was like, you know, at the very least, I just hope they don't give me a sweat. Like, if they're not going to win, just don't give me a sweat.
Yeah. Let me go and about then, my day and do something else.
And then you have, like, guy like Eric Van Rooyen, who's literally in the top five in all the PGA and par five scoring, and just when he could win me a incredible amount of money, bogeys two of the four par fives. And they're easy par. These are, like, all very easy par fives on that course yesterday. And so it's just, you know, you take the good with the bad. We're in the middle of the fourth. Houston and Toronto still scoreless up there. So we said that maybe we would be getting a better version of Hunter Brown. We have gotten that so far, Adam. Three innings, only one hit allowed. He struck out a couple. I thought Rodriguez was going to maybe regress to those numbers that we saw with him. Instead, he actually is no-hitting the Astros right now, has 5 Ks through 4 innings.
Yeah.
Good talent.
Perfect game, actually.
Oh, all right. Perfect game, then.
Perfect game.
Through four innings. So there we go. We'll see. Maybe we won't jinx him. Yeah, I know. I see the little tapping on the table over there by Wyatt.
This is all marble, I just realized.
So we didn't get to all of the stuff. The Celtics extended Derek White 4 years, $125.9 million to kind of ensure their big three there. So the Celtics do kind of insulate that. One of the things we didn't talk about, too, James Harden was one of the guys that people were wondering, well, is he going to go try and ring chase? What's he going to do? No, he's just going to go back to the Clippers, 2 years, $70 million with that. And basically what that comes down to, Adam, is nothing more than, okay, the Clippers lost Paul George. The only thing they could do to try to save face is just re-sign Harden to get somebody to want to maybe come in and watch a game in that arena, right? I mean, it's like if you lose both of them, then you're kind of like, oh, okay, now we have to sell – we have to sell tickets on nothing but Kawhi, who's maybe the most awkward guy on a microphone in the history of the world. So, yeah, it was, they had to say fake, so he's going to get $35 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, they weren't really left with too many options.
No.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a team – you kind of wonder, like, long-term, what things sort of look like for them, right? I mean, at some point, they're just going to have to blow it up and just kind of be really, really bad and hope that you know, luck into a generational-type player or something like that in the draft.
Yeah, it's and we were – we're talking about this with Will Hill. The NBA draft this year was maybe one of the worst in recent memory. You can talk to all the people. Listen, I'm not a scout. I am not a talent evaluator. But the people who are said that this is like one of the worst drafts we've seen in quite some time. It's dudes that aren't going to make super huge impact. There's a lot of solid players. There's just nobody who's going to be like big-time superstar. That is not the case with this next one coming up. Not only is the top of the draft very, very heavy, but apparently it's pretty deep as well. Again, according to talent evaluators, not me. But there are supposedly 8 to 10 different guys in this draft that could really be kind of impact players in the NBA. So where we had like maybe the most lackluster draft we've seen in a very long time this year, we are going to have one that everybody is trying to wiggle their way up, move up, do whatever they can to get towards the top of this one, because we could actually be seeing multiple different guys who could come in and really kind of shape your franchise.
Well, and then that makes it really interesting, right, for some of these teams, because I mean, a team like the Clippers can't just, like, very blatantly and obviously tank, right?
Yeah.
Like, being in the market that they're in, kind of, I mean, they still won 51 games last year despite kind of all the moving parts and all that kind of thing. Like, they can't blatantly tank, and yet some teams that were in the play-in last year, they're kind of, like, on the verge of getting better that probably aren't going to want to go in reverse because they've been bad enough here recently with some of the stronger drafts to be able to get – you know, that infusion of talent get a little bit better. So I think it's going to be really interesting to kind of see how things play out, especially as you guys were talking about, you know, late in the year when it's just going to be a race to the bottom. And you know, you'll have to look at you know, some of the schedules and stuff like that that are out there, I think make the playoff odds are going to be really interesting as the season goes along next year. And then, you know, I assume that there'll be the most wins markets, you know, for the NBA too, or maybe you can take advantage of some of those things in, you know, February, March, April.
If you're driving along, just to kind of recap here, Chris Paul goes to the Spurs. That's a one-year deal for $11 million. Tobias Harris is out of Philly. They go with Paul George anyway. So Tobias Harris, two-year deal, $52 million with the Pistons. Isaiah Hartenstein goes 3 years, $87 million with the Thunder. Jalen Smith, 3 years, $27 million with the Bulls. Tyrese Maxey extended, five-year, $204 there with the Sixers. Derek Jones Jr., three-year, $30 million, moves over to the Clippers. So they gain Klay Thompson, whatever. Jonas Valanciunas, three-year, $30 million to go to the Wizards. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, 3 years, $66 million to go to the Magic. And then we just mentioned James Harden, the $270 million with the Clippers. So lots of stuff going on. You talked about, we asked Will Hill about the NHL free agency. You got to go in. There's just moves happening all over the place. Wyatt, you did say that the our hometown team here in Las Vegas, basically everybody that was available, is going to be playing elsewhere next year.
Oh, for the Golden Knights.
Yes.
Marchessault's gone. Stevenson's gone. Will Carrier. The tough one is Marchessault and Carrier were part of the original Misfits, part of the expansion team. So down to the final three. But yeah, a lot of the red flags are definitely going here in Vegas with the fans, because right now for the Golden Knights, they just don't know who's going to be able to replace, because the NHL free agency, I don't know if you're following it. I mean, guys were signing like every 15 seconds, it felt like.
Yeah.
So I don't know who's available.
There's a fine young lady that goes to the gym that I go to, who is a huge Golden Knights fan, who actually even has the license plate Marshy. So I'm wondering if
tough day for her.
This is why
I don't know what you do there, right? Do you get a new license? Do you abandon the license plate? If you're listening at home, you can let us know what you would do. Do you abandon the license plate now that the guy's gone, or is it kind of an ode and a tribute to what he was able to do while he was here? What's your feeling on that?
Kind of a badge of honor, almost. Yeah, I guess you probably leave it, right?
Do you keep it, or do you move on?
I think you got to move on. This is why I don't buy jerseys. People ask, why do you don't wear jerseys? Because like Aaron Rodgers will go to the Jets. I'm like, I just look stupid now wearing somebody else's jersey. So I would get rid of it.
Here's the thing, like, the jersey thing is interesting because I don't get going to a game, and we've all sat in the stands in games, and then you look down and someone's wearing a jersey of a guy that hadn't been there in a decade and has played actually like the majority of his career somewhere else, and you go, what are you doing?
Right.
You
just or the guy with his own last name and number 69 on the back. Like, bro, come on, man.
Yeah, you're like, no one even chuckled at that. Like,
right,
everyone thinks you're a goober. Anyway, when we come back, let's talk Major League Baseball yes, no's.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
It is Sharp Money here on VSIN. And if you don't get your stuff on the radio, you can get it over on VSIN.com. You can go in, you can listen to the audio. You can actually get the video feed as well if you want to become a VSIN Pro subscriber. But you go in, you can get all of the best bets, all the splits, all the articles, everything we do on the odds page as well, which is really, really great. We have betting tools. We also have betting guides and everything for you newbies out there. If you're just getting going on all of this, you can, in fact, go to VSiN.com and get all this stuff for free. Matt Brown, Adam Burke in here on Sharp Money. We get some, it's not really a Woj bomb, just more Woj news, which is Klay Thompson was offered 4 years, $80 million from the Lakers, but he chose the 3 and 50 from the Mavs. And we kind of joked a little bit about maybe it's, you know, you get clipped 10% off the top when you're in California, as it is anyway. I'm sure that had a little bit to do with some of it, but you actually made a really good point just kind of regarding the future of the Lakers as it is anyway.
Yeah, I mean, how long is LeBron still there? And when LeBron is no longer there, then what do they do? You know, I mean, they probably have to go into some measure of a rebuild. I mean, it's not like they can build around Bronny. So, you know, I mean, you go to Dallas and you're instantly, you know, in contention for a ring. You're playing with Luka and Kyrie. I mean, and then also the tax benefits. I mean, to me, it's really a no-brainer to go play with the Mavs instead of play with the Lakers.
Yeah, it's a deal where if you're Klay Thompson, right, like in I think Klay Thompson probably knows in his heart of hearts, like, he's a shell of the player that he used to be, right?
Right.
And so now you go, and like you say, LeBron, say he just plays 1 year because he wants to play with his kid and he retires. now your deficiencies are highlighted 10x because now it's just you and Anthony Davis, and it's like, oh, Clay's real bad. Like he, right. Oh, Clay is not even close to what he was before. You can mask it. You know, Luka and Kyrie are still in their prime, right? So like you can kind of like be on back off a little bit, and you could be that third wheel, and everything's fine and all that. But boy, LeBron retires, and then it is just the spotlight is on you. But you can see this. You can see all of the talking head stuff, Wyatt, right now. You can see the headlines you would probably try to make and make me talk about. Can Clay step into LeBron's shoes? And like, no,
right?
Absolutely not.
You know, we were talking about Kawhi Leonard. You know, it's not if he will get hurt; it's when he will get hurt. It's same thing with Anthony Davis. You never know when he's going to be fully healthy. So it's like, if Anthony Davis goes down, it's just Clay Thompson out there by himself.
How cool would it be to be so rich that you're like, nah, you can keep your $30 million. Nah, I'll just take the 50. I don't need the 80. Wouldn't that be fun?
That'd be great. That'd really be great. Maybe he also just feels like Dallas is a better fit for him, right? Yeah. I mean, they're a team that does love to shoot the three, which is the thing that if Klay Thompson is going to get back to being a productive player in the NBA, it's going to be for that reason, taking long-distance jump shots. So maybe it also just feels like Dallas is a better fit for him.
This is also my favorite time of the year is when Laker fans think that they're going to get this person. We're going to get DeMar DeRozan, who's still probably out there, Klay Thompson, Jonas Valanciunas, like all these guys. And it's really the only moves that the Lakers have made so far has been just re-signing all their guys.
Yeah.
It's my favorite time of the year.
I will say this. Like, there is – I want more parity, obviously. Like, I dig parity, but at the same time, I also – if we can make, like, 5-6 super teams, I'm also okay with that, too. Because then it's like, all right, let's see which one of the powers that be that's tried to go in and to assemble this Voltron of awesomeness, right? And it's like, okay, which one of these can win? I'm okay with that, too, right? If we can't have parity throughout, then give me the 5 or 6 just gigantors and just have them battled out when we get to the playoffs.
Well, and to that point, right, so the Arizona Diamondbacks win the National League last year.
Yeah.
They were 84-78. They had a negative run differential. By a lot of accounts, they really weren't a very good baseball team, but they got hot at the right time, right, and made their way through the NL playoffs. Like, nobody wants a team like that to make the NBA Finals, right?
Right.
A team that, like, barely got into the playoffs, maybe even got through the play-in tournament. You don't want, like, a 7 seed in the NBA Finals, right? You want that arms race. You want those teams that are really, really good that are going to create the most compelling television. Baseball is different, right? It's a high-variance sport. You know, it kind of becomes interesting when a team goes on a run like that. Maybe they become kind of a darling, something like that. In the NBA, like, nobody wants that, right? You don't want the Celtics running into the Pelicans and the Kings in the finals, you know?
No, you do not want that
right.
at all, for sure. No longer a perfect game. Jeremy Peña goes yard for the Astros, 1-0 in the middle of the fifth for the Astros. So maybe we'll cash us a ticket here. I need Brown to continue throwing well here for this Astros squad.
Well, and that was the thing about Rodriguez, right? We talked about it. I mean, a guy who had only faced, I think it's 13 batters over his two appearances, and then all of a sudden, you know, Toronto pushing him out into the fifth inning. And while he was cruising, while he was being very, very efficient, you know, you start turning those lineups over, it becomes a much more difficult thing. So we'll see. Maybe Houston going to cash a first five and a first five run line after getting shut out for 4 innings.
Yes, no playoff odds over at DraftKings. And if we take a look at the AL West in this Mariners team that's 47-39, they have a 3.5-game lead on the Astros and an 8-game lead on the Rangers. They are actually sitting with a ridiculously high -290 number attached to their name to make the playoffs there, Adam, +235 on the no. I've already said once on this program, I'll say again, I'm not a believer in this Mariners team, and I really wanted to be coming into this year, but they just don't hit the ball very well. And then you get, like, all the stuff that's going on. And, like, when they're pitching well, sure, they have one of the more exciting kind of younger staffs in Major League Baseball. But then you also look, and it's, like, this scare with Brian Wu. Like, if it's not one thing, it's another with Wu so far. He wasn't able to start at the beginning of the season. Then he was getting some forearm tightness. They shut him down for a week. He comes back. There was no structural damage. And now it's, like, now it's a groin thing and all this is going on with him. I don't know, man. I just, top to bottom in this lineup, nobody scares you. Even Julio Rodriguez having a down year as well. Like, there's just nothing in this lineup that leads me to believe that if the Astros go out and make a move at the deadline, which we think that they will, or the Rangers go out and make a move at the deadline, which we think that they will, maybe the Rangers, I know it's kind of a long shot, but maybe the Rangers get DeGrom back for the stretch as well. I know he's going to start throwing here, like, pretty soon and all that. I think there's a lot to like about the teams that are chasing them down.
So, I still think Seattle's going to make the playoffs. I mean, you know, keep in mind there are the three wild card spots, and you know, Minnesota's playing a lot better. I still don't know that Minnesota's a very good team. I don't think Kansas City's a good team, despite taking 3 out of 4 from Cleveland. I mean, they have a lot of deficiencies, a lot of needs. They're a team that, you know, as the season goes along, I get more and more worried about them. Boston, I mean, Boston's got a lot of guys in that starting rotation that have not been able to throw 160, 180, 200 innings throughout the course of their careers. So even though Boston is interesting, and I think Boston to win the most games in July is kind of intriguing just because of their schedule, some of the teams that they play some very bad teams, including Miami to start things here tomorrow.
And have been very scrappy.
They've been scrappy. I mean, and Andrew Bailey's done a hell of a job with that starting rotation, and the bullpen's been good, but, you know, Texas, they haven't figured it out yet. When Josh Young comes back, he'll be a really big upgrade to that lineup and an upgrade defensively as well. But there's something off with that team. You know, I don't know. I don't think you can really count on Scherzer or DeGrom, to be totally honest with you. I think Seattle is in a position. Jerry DePoto does treat his team like a fantasy baseball team. He makes a lot of trades. They have good young pitching. The question is, will they give up a Bryce Miller or somebody like that to get a hitter? Will that be, you know, with the Orioles, will they make a trade for a position player that simply doesn't have a spot for Baltimore, as I think it's been a good fit all year long but hasn't happened yet? But I still think Seattle's pitching. I mean, the top three in that rotation are good enough to keep them in that playoff mix. But I think it's also one of those things where, yeah, Houston can catch them for the division, but I don't know if any of the wild card contenders can catch them and not keep them out of the playoffs.
What do we think about this Royals team? Minus 120, yes, on the playoffs. Even money, no, on the playoffs. Started out just on fire. Now have cooled off a little bit. Find themselves now 7 games back of the Guardians. That's nothing. I mean, the Guardians have been great, so that's not like talking trash about this Royals team or anything like that. I'm curious because I think that when I look at this Royals team, you and I talked about this before the season even started. For them to be good, they were going to have to get really good production out of inexperienced young dudes, right? And while they got it at the beginning of the year, maybe starting to catch up with them a little bit, maybe these teams, as we know, who go in and study film and started figuring out holes in these certain guys' swings, maybe figured out something about Reagan's and all that as he's gotten shelled a couple of times here the last couple of weeks. I'm curious at the Royals what this second half looks like for them.
I'm curious what the second half looks like, too. I mean, you know, Reagan's already up over 100 innings pitched. You know, a guy that throws max effort, throws hard. We've seen a track record here recently, Major League Baseball, about dudes that throw really hard get hurt.
Yeah.
It's just the way that it's been. As I mentioned, you know, 9 of the 10 guys last year that led the league in fastball velocity have been hurt this year. And Hunter Green is the only one who's still hanging on. So I think it's tough to say that Reagan's is going to stay healthy. I mean, Seth Lugo is a pretty big regression candidate. Brady Singer the same way. Mm-hmm. Alec Marsh has been good, and Michael Walker is really good when he's healthy. I think he's a very underrated guy. The starting staff is good. The bullpen needs a lot of help. They're going to have to get at least, I think, 3 bullpen arms here at the trade deadline, which they'll be available, but they'll be kind of costly. And I still don't really believe in the offense either. I think it's Kansas City team. And also, there's something going around here, and good time to bring this up with a break coming. There's something going around about Kansas City's very, very stark home road splits, particularly their record at home versus on the road. People think there's some shenanigans going on at Kauffman Stadium that I'm kind of curious to see how that plays out the rest of the way.
You know what? We'll continue this discussion here on the other side. I want to talk about a couple of these other teams that are kind of on the fringe and whether you believe in them long term or not. More talk about yes-no playoffs in Major League Baseball when we come back.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
It's never too early to turn to NFL betting. If you head on over to DraftKings, you're going to see massive amounts of markets that are available. And we went in, we dug through them, and we found out the very best ones. You go in. Our NFL betting guide now available, VSIN.com/guide. Not only are we going to give you thoughts on every single NFL team out there, but any bets that are in our account, not only the bet, but a reason why we made the bet, Adam. It's not just a, hey, here's this reason, and then we're just going to leave you hanging. It's no, we made this bet, and here's why, and you can choose to come in and make the same bet, or maybe even think that we made a horrible bet. We don't really care, as long as we're giving you an opinion, making you feel something somewhere along the way.
That's the goal. That is the goal. And our NFL betting guide, 84 pages, a lot of contributors, a lot of thoughts, a lot of people that handicap in different ways, too. Some people that are very data-driven, some people that kind of have a little bit more of an old-school process. And that's something I love about our NFL betting guide, that we have such a wide range of opinions and things that allow you to get prepared for the upcoming NFL season.
If you are looking at the starting lineups for this Mets and Nationals game, you will see James Wood. Yes, he is in the lineup for the Nationals, making his Major League Baseball debut. You will not see Brandon Nimmo in the lineup for the Mets. And it's he slipped and fell in his hotel room last night and has a big gash on his forearm. And so he's not going to play today.
Baseball has the weirdest injuries out of all the sports.
It slipped and fell in the I mean, has to be in the shower then in the hotel room.
Gotta
I mean,
be.
Like, you're not, you don't slip. I mean, it would be like, it would have been tripped if you, like, tripped over a chair or something. And so he fell out of the shower is basically what's going on.
I was going to think, they're going to be at a nice hotel, so it's not the, you know, the old school, like, bathtub showers, right? You'd have to think just nice walk-in.
I mean, you would.
Could be.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know either.
I mean, like, so.
Unless this is a toilet accident and they don't want to talk about it.
Could be. I mean, like, so Harrah's in town here, you know, when they renovated all their guest rooms, they have like a half window on the shower. So, like, water just sprays everywhere.
Oh, I hate those.
So you have to have like 19 towels, like, on the ground to soak up all the water. So, I don't know. Maybe Brandon Nimmo had a situation like that. Only the half wall for the shower.
See, first time that happened to me, I sat there for like a minute trying to get it over. I'm like, what am I doing wrong here? This shouldn't be this hard. I'm like, oh, this is just how it's designed.
You okay. Shouldn't admit that.
Yeah. Shower design in general, and I know we're getting off topic here.
I mean,
you know, but like, but you know, whatever. It's middle of the day in summer.
I do Sharp Money every Tuesday. We're off topic a lot.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, it's.
Are you good for your guest spot?
Shower design in general, like, I mean, there seems like a pretty obvious way to make a shower, and then like. It seems like the more fancy you try to make it, the more trouble you actually just cause, and it's just water all like everywhere, and you're just like making more work for yourself. And the next thing you know, you look down, and your floor is rotting and molding, and you have to do whatever else. It's like shower design. Just get the water in there, and like, and that's all you really got to do. Like, I don't need anything else other than that.
Also, maybe the dynamic has changed now, but the standard should always be the curved shower curtain rod.
Yeah, well, yeah, if you're getting in one of
those.
There
is nothing worse than staying in a hotel where they just have the straight shower curtain rod and, like, the liner just sticks to you as you're trying to take a shower.
Yeah, you can't get any sort of space whatsoever.
Yeah.
You feel like you are getting molested by whatever that shower curtain has done and seen in the past. And
it's probably seen some things.
And it has seen some things for sure. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. So, anyway,
How do we transition away from that topic into something else?
Well, we're going back into Major League Baseball.
We hope Brandon Nimmo's okay.
There are a couple teams, like kind of these fringe teams. I asked you about the Royals. Another one of those I think that we could lump into that category is the Padres. And you go in and you kind of look at this Padres team. And I know, you know, us living out here on the West Coast, we actually get to see the vast majority of these games. And you look at this Padres squad, Adam, and like, I want to like them. I really do, but why can't I buy in on them? What is it about this Padres team that will not let me believe that they are going to be able to keep this up for the rest of the season?
Well, I mean, it's history, right? I mean, this is a team that's made the playoffs twice since the 2006 season, and they've spent a ton of money in the quest to keep pace with the Dodgers, basically. Yeah. And they really, for the most part, haven't been able to do it. I mean, you know, they've made the playoffs a couple of times, but one time when they made the playoffs, they finished 22 games out in the division, and they made it to the NLCS. You know, they did beat the Dodgers that year, if I remember correctly. And then the other year, they were 6 games out, and that was 2020 during the COVID year. So they were 6 games out in a 60-game season. So, like, this is a team that, while they have a significant amount of talent, while they've spent a lot of money, they have not had their results. And Dustin Swedelson and I, we do the Double Play podcast. You know, we've been talking about this Padres team a lot throughout the course of the year, like, they're too good to be a 500-level team, and now this is a team that has been playing better of late, and that's even with, you know, Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove both really banged up. So maybe they are kind of figuring it out a little bit, but, I mean, this team from a talent standpoint, way too good over the last 2 years. I mean, they haven't won 90 games since 2010 with all the money they've spent, with all the talent that they try to infuse. So they're a hard team to trust.
Jackson Merrill's a stud, though.
Oh, absolute stud. Yeah, great, great ball player. By the way, I want to get back to the Royals here for a second. Yeah. So Kansas City, you know, I teased this before the break, and I got to make sure I talk about it here. Kansas City, on the season, they are 30-16 at home. They are 17-23 on the road. They've scored 5.22 runs per game at home, just 3.8 on the road. And their pitching staff has also been better at home than it has been on the road. And look, you know, typically you should be better at home, right? In virtually every sport, you should be better at home because there are built-in advantages. And in Major League Baseball, you have significant advantages where you can build to your ballpark, right? You can build to the quirks of your ballpark. You know, maybe the dimensions are a little bit different. Or in Baltimore's case, you just, you know, manipulate the ballpark and make left field like 25 feet deeper. And then all of a sudden that helps you. There's really no actual advantage at Kauffman Stadium. It's one of the older ballparks. The upkeep is still pretty nice. I liked it when I went there a few years ago. But there's no actual, like, advantage you can really build in to playing at home here at Kauffman Stadium. But this is a team that, I mean, they are second in weighted on base average at home. They are 27th in weighted on base average on the road. There's the rumor mill is churning about maybe something nefarious going on at Kauffman Stadium. I don't know. Maybe they're just more comfortable at home for whatever reason, but it is a really, really big contrast for a team that I really don't think is all that good.
Yeah.
I mean, Bobby Witt Jr. is incredible, and he hides a lot of deficiencies on the offensive side, and Salvador Perez is somehow hitting for batting average this year, which has never happened throughout the course of his career. But the home-road dichotomy for the Royals is staggering, to say the least. I don't know if there's, you know, fire to this smoke.
You're not ready to say shenanigans. You're not ready to go there.
I want to.
You want to.
I want to. I mean, it's there seems like there's something strange going on because, again, this isn't Coors Field, right, where Colorado is typically 500 or better at home and god-awful on the road. Like, there's nothing like that at Kauffman Stadium that would suggest that there could be this big of a contrast between home and road performance.
I just need them to get to 74 wins before they get caught doing whatever they're doing. Just get to 74 wins. I have the over 73.5. It was the only win total I played in Major League Baseball. So just get to 74 wins. Then get caught for whatever you're doing. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me.
There's some. I wouldn't be surprised if there's something going on. But, I mean, look, to your point, you said this during the break. Like, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. Yeah. So you do it until you get caught if you are doing something. Because everybody's doing something in some way. So, you know, but it's just, it's very, very weird that this is a top five offense at home and a bottom five offense on the road.
NL Central, Brewers, Cardinals, I guess you can throw Pirates and Reds in there as it's not completely out of the realm of possibility that they would be able to come and make some sort of run over the second half. But you look at this Brewers, Cardinals battle, 6.5 back right now for the Cardinals. Do you think that there is a world that exists that the Cardinals catch the Brewers? And what do you think about just the Cardinals overall making the playoffs? You have to get some plus money on the yes for them.
Yeah, you know, I really didn't want to believe in the Cardinals because what they did over the offseason was so underwhelming. I mean, Sonny Gray has been tremendous for them, which is really good. But, you know, they bring Lance Lynn back. They've got Kyle Gibson around. Like, they got a bunch of starters in their mid-30s. And, you know, I've kind of made the argument that because we're in the dog days of summer now, you know, some of the young arms may be hitting a little bit of a wall.
Yeah.
You know, but the veteran guys, the mid-30s guys, they kind of know how to navigate, you know, this part of the season. Maybe that's something that's helping Kansas City with Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha, guys like that. Like, these guys just know how to navigate the tough part of the season here. And it's also one of those things for St. Louis where, like, Alec Burleson's playing really, really well. Mason Wynn is showing flashes. Brendan Donovan's playing well. They're getting nothing out of Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado, and yet they're still, you know, doing fairly well here of late. So I think it's a really good sign for them going forward. I am terrified of Milwaukee's pitching, but they found Tobias Myers. He's been good here of late. I don't think the bullpen is really all that great. I don't think the starting rotation is really all that great. The lineup, Jackson Chourio's really growing up very, very quickly, so I think the lineup can still be good. St. Louis could catch them, but I think Milwaukee is just the best team in this division.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I look at this, and I don't have a bet on the Brewers, but I kind of keep asking myself, what is it about this that I'm not willing to buy in on, right? If they can get into the tournament, they've got some guys, too, that I think that might be better over the second half as well.
And I think that they'll be very active in the trade market, too.
This is one of those things where this is why you come here on a Monday afternoon to Sharp Money. We're going to be giving you all kinds of insight into all this stuff. When we come back, let's look at the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year market here. Adam, see if we can't find something, a diamond in the rough, if you will.